Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is lecture number 42 in the book of Deuteronomy. And we come today to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we begin our study in verse 64. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God has been promising the Israelites many, many blessings for obedience and warning them of curses for disobedience as they are about to enter into the Holy Land. And we've looked at the blessings. We're in the middle of looking at the curses as we pick up our study in Deuteronomy 28:64. Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. Instead of living in the land God gave them, they will be scattered everywhere, wherever people send them. They will be a people without a home. 65. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. They will live in other lands, but it won't be like home. They will long for the good old days back in the Holy Land, and they will learn how foolish it is to show contempt for God, the God who had been so good to them. 66. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and have no assurance of life. They will fear death at all times. Each moment will be like flipping a coin. Heads, your enemy kills you. Tails, he lets you live another minute. And then you flip another coin. 67. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning. Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see. In the morning they will hope to make it until evening. In the evening they will hope to make it until morning. No rest, no peace. 68. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies, as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. There will be so many Hebrew slaves on the market that the law of supply and demand will make them almost worthless. Hebrew slave inflation, you might say. Chapter 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And so these words of Moses here in verse 1 actually introduce his third sermon to the people recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. So let's look at it beginning in verse 2. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And that is talking about the 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt for Egypt's cruelty and their refusing to let the Hebrews go free. God plummeted them with evil, with plague after plague. And verse 3 says, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. And they were trials for Egypt. They tried and they tested the Egyptians to see how deeply embedded their rebellion against God really was. And it was pretty deep. 4. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day, in spite of all the favors God did for them. the Israelites still do not understand. God says how blessed they really are. They do not realize how grateful to God they should be. They are a stubborn and rebellious bunch. 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. That is an amazing miracle. 40 years of walking and their sandals didn't wear out. You know, there were no shoe stores in the wilderness, and they needed shoes. So God made the ones that they had when they left Egypt last. It just illustrates so clearly, though, that God gives us what we need when we need it. Somehow, some way, He does it. It may not be everything you want. They couldn't choose the color of their sandals, but they had sandals. 6. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. They didn't have any normal bread during those 40 years because they couldn't grow crops. They never settled down. They were always on the move. They didn't have any wine or beer. All they had was water. In other words, they didn't eat and drink the common things because they didn't have the common things. But God still took care of them. 7. And when you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. When Israel was getting close to the Holy Land, two enemies came against them, and one right after the other. But God was there, and God fought for them, and God gave them the victory. And these were just preliminary bouts. They were not the main event. They were just a sample of the victories that God was about to give them in the Holy Land. Verse 8, we took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. The 2.5 tribes of Israel, which settled on the east side of the Jordan River, settled in the land that belonged to those two countries that just attacked them. Verse 9, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do, because of how good God has been to them. And in order to keep things going well, they must serve the Lord in holiness. Verse 10, all of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel. And so anyone who was in one form or another in power or in a position of authority was standing before the holy tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of God's presence. They're all standing there at this point with Moses. But not just them. Verse 11, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water. You see, it wasn't just the men in authority. Everyone was there, even children, even foreign servants. No one was to be excluded from this meeting with God. They are all in this thing together, and they all need to live for God, or all in some way will suffer because they are connected. 12, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into His oath which the Lord your God makes with you today. They were all there before the tabernacle of the Lord to swear an oath to the Lordship of God Almighty. You know, these sorts of outward ceremonies, which reflect inward commitments, are very important to the Lord. 13, that He may establish you today as a people for Himself, and that He may be God to you, just as He has spoken to you and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This ceremony and the covenant which is about to be affirmed will confirm that God is their God and they are his people. Verse 14, I make this covenant and this oath not with you alone. And so Moses is the spokesman. Moses is the mediator of this covenant between God and the Israelites. But the covenant wasn't just between God and Moses. It was with God and Moses and God and the people and their children and their children's children and so on. Verse 15. But with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. Some who may have been sick or couldn't possibly physically, for one reason or another, make it to this meeting, were still in this covenant. They were still a part of the group, still responsible. 16, for you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by. Or the Israelites, they dwelt in Egypt, all right, and they had lousy living conditions as slaves down there, if you can call that living. And then they traveled through many nations to get to the place where they are at right now. In verse 17, and you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold. In other words, God says, you saw the worthless, dead, obscene things that these people worshiped when you went through their land. 18, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. In other words, God is telling the Israelites not to let down their guard. They've come this far. They are almost in the land. Do not do anything to spoil it at the last minute. Verse 19. And so it may not happen, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. Warning from God. God is saying, don't let anyone think. I know what God demands, but I will just live the way I want to live, and it's not going to be a big deal. Don't let anybody think that way, because it is a big deal. 20. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. No exceptions. God has no favorites. If someone has the crazy idea that God likes them too much to pour out his wrath on them, then they better get rid of that idea, because it's not true. 21. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. In other words, the one who sins will suffer. God will know who he is, and God will go after him. Guilty sinners do not get lost in the crowd. God sees. And we're going to pick up our study in verse 22 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.